Keith Cork, and I am joined, as pretty much always, by my good buddy here, Mr. Trey Hill. And we're here to talk Bulls, Trey. I know we just had, if you guys haven't checked out yet, last episode was kind of a bit of a crossover episode with Brad of the Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks show. We had a blast, man. I'm sorry you couldn't make it, Trey. I know you had something going on, but we talked for like over an hour. I actually fell through my chair, which he thankfully edited out. My wife has this old FSU chair that I've been using to sit in my brother's garage and record on, and it's old, it's like crusty, but that's really no excuse. I should probably lose some weight because I fell straight through the bottom of it.
No judgment here. If it's old, then it's probably seen better days. But I'm glad to be back, though. It is always fun to branch out, especially with the different teams with Sports Ethos. We had a great crossover with the Celtics. You had a great crossover with the Hawks. And really, I look forward to hopefully doing more of that. And just that way it's kind of, you know, because during the season, you know, game 67, it's like, okay, we're talking about the Bulls game again. It'd be nice to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of hit on the same points when you're talking about just one team. So kind of, and you and I are both, you know, we both are pretty knowledgeable about the league in general. You know, maybe we'll throw out like an Eastern standings like we did last year for our now defunct gambling show, like, you know, over under on the win totals. If we think any of them are good, that'd be kind of a fun way to break things up. But we do try to bring you guys Bulls coverage here as much as we can, obviously. So we want to kick off the show here. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I haven't gotten to talk about Lonzo yet, so we've gotten some Bulls news to talk about, at least for my end. Four days from now, he hasn't even had the surgery yet, but in 4 days, Lonzo goes under the knife, and then 4 to 6 weeks from then, they're going to look at it. It's not even that's his expected recovery date. That's when they're going to reevaluate is the term they're using. So that worries me, the reevaluate term, because we've been reevaluating Lonzo on a 4 to 6 week injury for what, 8 months now?
Yeah, that's really rough. And the way when you put it like that, it makes me even more nervous. Because you know what I was thinking, Trey, and I said this on the last show, again, go ahead and listen to that if you guys haven't yet, with Brad from Sports Ethos Hawks. But what I said was, you know, basically he was going to be coming back about a week or two into the season. That was the kind of the last news we had before we talked last time. But now, you know, we had this news that he's getting this surgery. But then the time frame was basically the same, 1 to 2 weeks. But I didn't even think about that, you know, basically that's just a reevaluation timeline.
I went ahead and right before we came on, I did the numbers. So he's getting the surgery September 28th, a month. So 4 weeks from then is October 28th. That's six. He would have missed six games into the season at that point. If it's 6 weeks, say he gets to come back at the end of the 6 week evaluation. That's November 11th. That's 13 games into the season. That's, I think, 15% is what I did. I think it's 15% of the season just right off the top. And while I would rather him miss the beginning of the season than any other point, it's just an unfortunate start to the season when, you know, this injury was back into last season.
Yeah. So if we're thinking, and this is, you know, good to point out here, if we're thinking like in for fantasy basketball terms right now, my mind is so focused on fantasy trade because I'm in like seven different drafts right now as we speak. They're all slow drafts, so it's not a big deal. I'm not missing anything. But yeah, if we're thinking of like in fantasy terms, you know, I think best case scenario, this guy plays 60 games. And I think that's really being optimistic about this timeline because, like you said, he's going to get reevaluated basically after the first 15 or so games of the season. I mean, I think it's going to be the longer end of that because I've actually got his injury history pulled up here, Trey. And obviously he had that meniscus tear in 2022. You know, it's going to be a 6 to 8 week timeline. It's going to be about a year before he gets on the floor again, which is just absolutely ridiculous. But he just didn't respond well. This latest procedure here was to just basically get out, from my understanding, get out like an infection or inflammation that came about because of this previous attempt to fix his meniscus. So it's like
they're taking the
debridement.
Basically, I think when he had the surgery last time, there were some things left over in there that they have to go, whether they developed after the fact or whatever the case may be, whether it's leftover tissue that tore off after. There's stuff in there that's gunking up his knee. And they have to go in and clean it out. And so they're hoping they can go in, clean up the knee, and then he won't have issues when he ramps up. Because he seems to be fine until he ramps up. And when he has trouble running and not ramping up, that they're hoping that it's just kind of like, you know, stuff floating around in there they can scoop out.
Yeah. And you know, I'm looking, again, looking at his injury history here, and the knees are, have always been a problem. Not only did he have that meniscus tear, I think that was his right knee was the last meniscus tear he had, but he also had knee tendinopathy in 2021, which is basically just inflammation or just, you know, bitter tenderness of the tendons there, which made him miss some games. He also had a meniscus tear in 2018. Not sure which, I think that might have been his other knee. His left knee on that one, but I'm pretty sure he's had both knees with meniscus tears. It had to be because they remove or at least partially remove that meniscus when you tear it. So just not, you don't want to call a guy injury prone, but when it becomes that, you know, the guy has the same injuries over and over tread, that's what really makes me worry. And the fact that he's had multiple knee, you know, surgeries at this point in his young career, I am really, really worried. How, like on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your worry level here?
8.5. It's yeah. It's hot. It's up there.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on, you know, walking and the structure, you know, the structure and how you put weight on different parts of your body with how you step and run and those things. But it, I wonder what the experts would say if they watched Alonzo, if one, you know, just for whatever reason, he's more prone to knee injuries than someone else who maybe runs in a different style. I know Steph Curry had to relearn how to run.
Right.
Because of his ankle injuries early in his career,
right.
Just so he wouldn't continue to suffer from those injuries, because the way he was running before made him prone to injury. And he went into the lab and figured, you know, he went did the testing and figured out, oh, this is what's causing it. I need to stop doing that. So I don't know if that's the case or if Lonzo's just had some bad luck, but it's definitely up there on the. I almost even want to move it up to a 9. The more I think about it, it's. What about you? What'd you say?
Yeah, I am very worried. I would say I'm right in that same ballpark of you, 8 to a 9 or somewhere in there. You know, I'm not 10. I'm not like, you know, I'm not like this guy's gonna absolutely miss, you know, the entire season or anything like that. I think he will play.
Anthony Davis would be a 10, right?
Right. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're that guy's always a 10 because it's like, you know, he's gonna miss a game because he's, you know, just doesn't feel well that day. So I'm not that worry level, but just below that, it is really worrisome because. Like you said, it could be something that in what he does with running or whatever. It's actually counterintuitive because you usually think with guys that are guards that get knee injuries, like you think of Derrick Rose. I'm thinking like a John Morant. This is a reason that I'm not thinking he's going to have a long career is just because of the way he plays. Like these explosive guards that attack the basket nonstop over and over again. Those are the guys that constantly get the knee injuries. But with Lonzo, he's more of a, you know, spot up and shoot kind of guy. I mean, he does drive and kick, obviously. He that is a role that he has on the offensive end, but it's a little bit counterintuitive to me, Trey. I mean,
so here's my theory for you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I think a lot of it, and especially with Derrick Rose, what scared me about Derrick when he would drive is the sudden side-to-side movement. It's that side-to-side. Now, Lonzo, his specialty is defense for me, especially. Mm-hmm. And a lot of defense is side-to-side. It's a lot of – so I'm wondering if maybe his being so good on defense – that just plays into, you know, running into people sideways, just banging bodies. And it's sideways movements are hard on the knees.
Yeah.
And that's one reason I'm not quite as worried about John Morant as you. Because when he attacks the basket, it does seem to be pretty well straight line, you know, like a line drive. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Derrick, you watched him zig and zag through the lane, and it was just like, it was like watching somebody use the e-brake four times in, you know, like a 6 second span.
Well, I hope you're right about that, because I think John Morant's a very fun player to watch. I hope he has a long career, so I don't wish any ill upon him. It's just one of my many worries with explosive guards like that. But Alonzo, not necessarily that guy, so it kind of does surprise me that he has so many knee problems, but hopefully he figures it out. But if you guys do play fantasy basketball, this is a guy that, you know, probably you don't want to target anywhere nowhere inside the top 100 at this point. I would probably wait until well out of the, you know, top 100, maybe 110 to 120. You start looking at this guy if you need assists and steals and stuff like that. But while we're on the topic, Trey, of fantasy, I do got a little announcement here. Listeners, it's time to talk a little fantasy hoops. Do you remember who led you to Tyrese Halliburton, DeJounte Murray, Terry Rozier, and Mikal Bridges before any other rank list? That's right. It was the Brewski 150, and you probably turned those huge wins into some cash, didn't you? Well, great. This year, the Brewski 150 is on sale for a limited time, and Ethos 360 subscribers can get access in less than a week from now. So head to sportsethos.com and click on the premium tab and grab membership or draft guide today. And yes, to answer your most important question, the Brewski 150 is included in both options. Check back daily for more new features and go dominate your leagues again with Sports Ethos. I tell you guys right now, that Brewski 150 saves me every year. I always find little hidden gems with that. I've been following Brewski for years and years and years. He was over at Roto World, which is now NBC Sports Edge, but I think it's Roto World again now. But anyways, whatever it is now, he's been doing fantasy basketball for a very long time, and he really knows the stuff. So you want to go grab that fantasy pass, everybody, I promise you. But moving on, Trey, a little bit less of a basketball news piece, but a big news piece that's, you know, rocking the NBA right now. Obviously we had Robert Sarver. We didn't really touch on that. I don't think I want to touch on that.
He's looking to sell both franchises, and that was the best news to come out of all of it. So cheers to that.
Yeah. I think I'll leave it at that. You know, maybe we'll touch on it at a later date, but we'll let that marinate a little bit more. But I think, you know, I think we have to talk about Ime Udoka, because obviously the Celtics are in the East. You know, they are one of the top teams in the East. I think we're going to have a very similar opinion about the situation. So there probably won't be a whole lot to talk about and go back and forth about. But just, I guess, you know, obviously Ime Udoka is suspended for the season. If you guys haven't heard yet, for some reason you're living under a rock. But he's suspended for the season for extramarital affairs with somebody in the organization. I don't believe they've revealed who it was. I don't think they want to. I don't know. Maybe I missed on that, but... what are your thoughts there, Trey?
If a team like the Celtics, it seems like they found out about a relationship in July, and so they started investigating it. And from there, they have said that there were numerous violations. So not just one, but there were numerous violations. And while they haven't said any specifics, everything it seems to be pointing towards, he had a relationship with someone in the organization. They no longer had a relationship, and then he, you know, may or may not have wanted to continue that relationship, which that's not something you can do in the workplace. And to me, I'm glad the Celtics investigated, saw there was going to be an issue, and jumped in front of it and said, look, we got to suspend him for the year, and we're going to keep digging. We're going to see what's going on, and we'll figure it out from there. But right now, we're suspending you for the year, and that's that. So I commend them for that. You can't have a relationship with someone in the workplace, especially when you're in a position of power like the head coach. It's just not something that's appropriate, and anyone who has ever worked any corporate job has had that training probably more than once that you have to sit through, and just the power dynamics and all of that. So I think it's pretty cut and dry that the year-long suspension is warranted. And I'm, especially after seeing Matt Barnes's video where he defended Udoka and then came back and said, look, I found out some stuff about what happened, and I retract everything I said. It's, to me, I think there's just a lot more going on, and I'm not excited to hear about it. I'm glad that the Celtics seem to have done the right thing, even if I wish they would have found a better way to release the information to go about it.
See this is interesting, and I'm glad, you know, we're having this conversation, because I didn't know that wrinkle that he was basically trying to continue a relationship after it ended. Because from what I understood, it was a consensual relationship. But like I said, I haven't been following very closely because I've just been very busy with the kids and everything. But that, now that you mentioned that, in real time, I'm changing my opinion on this, because I thought it was absolutely harsh, but it makes sense.
And I would also point out that it even if something's consensual, if you are in charge of something, you can't date people who are your subordinates. Like, mm-hmm. The McDonald's CEO lost like millions and millions of dollars and got fired for something exactly like this. So
right.
It's not like this is unprecedented to be punished for. It's something that you go through the training for this. It's very yeah. common knowledge. And to me, it's just, I hate even throwing the word consensual out there, because that it feels slimy. Yeah. Like, it just feels slimy. And I hate to say that, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, you know, you look at situations like Harvey Weinstein or something, like, you know, in a very slimy way, you can call some of those maybe consensual. You know, you don't want to call them consensual, because there is a very, very weird part, a very lopsided power dynamic there, which you know, someone's taking advantage of to get something that they want, and that's not the way that you know, relationships should work, outside of, you know, a romantic relationship should work. You know, obviously when you're talking about a professional relationship, it's different, but that's why you should separate that stuff, and they shouldn't have really gotten involved. But you know, people live their lives, they make their choices. I'm not here to police what somebody does in their, you know, their personal lives. But my initial reaction, which is, you know, again, I thought it was like really, really harsh, you know, especially after seeing what, you know, Robert Sarver got for his actions. And that's the reason I brought that up. And then now that I'm talking to you and hearing a little bit more of the situation, it makes a little bit more sense. And I guess what I should have thought about was, you know, if it seems harsh to me, it's probably something that the Celtics organization, I would imagine, was aware of, like you said, well before we were aware of it, and had probably, you know, in some way reprimanded him or asked him to cut it off, stop it. You know, this is if you go down this path, these are the possible outcomes. And it's maybe MA continued to push it. You know, I this is me. Just
well, that's what I thought when it was, because when it first came out, and this is my biggest gripe with the whole thing, and the rush to be the first one, Shams and Woj. They half reported the story, and it yeah. first came yeah. out that it was consensual, and that's where you saw it. And so when that first came out and I saw he was suspended for the year, I too, like you, thought it was excessive. And like you, in my head, I'm thinking, well, why would they suspend him for the whole year if for right. a consensual relationship? And I also got to the, well, maybe they've been investigating and it was, there's more to it. And then it came out that it was, and I don't know if that's came out on ESPN or something. I've just, like, that's been what's been on, you know, out in the Twitterverse, is that it, you know, it was someone who ended up being a subordinate, and it, you know, she had called it off, and that's why the suspension was so long. But even regardless of what it was, assuming it is what it appears to be, and what Matt Barnes drove like what 400 miles to fight Derek Fisher at Derek Fisher's house, like, Matt Barnes is about it when it comes to shit. And for him to have that reaction, it's just, I think it's going, whatever comes out, the Celtics are going to be very justified in their actions. But to compare it to the Sarver thing, one thing I will say, I was very disappointed in the Adam Silver press conference that Adam Silver had the option to suspend Sarver for life. He could have suspended him indefinitely, just banished him from the league. And he said, I'm suspending this man for a year because I believe this man deserves to own an NBA team. And the backlash from that is what got Sarver to sell, which is great. I'm glad Sarver is selling. But my outrage wasn't when I saw this thinking, man, if Sarver got a year, you know, Udoka didn't deserve this. It was, Udoka deserves this year. Sarver deserves so much more. And I'm ashamed of the NBA for standing behind him.
Yeah.
And I think just these two stories back to back, it's been such a bad week for the NBA as a league. I think they can't wait for games to get started.
Yeah, I think though, if you know, if we look at the long history of the NBA when it comes to things like this, I mean, it's an opportunity for the NBA to improve, and I think you will see the NBA. It's a long, you know, there are many things that happen in life, and something like this is going to unfortunately happen again in the future. And I think when that happens again, Trey, I think it will be a better response that the NBA gives. But I agree with you wholeheartedly that this was really weak, and that press conference was just a mistake. I mean, Adam Silver was so weak and waffling about, you know, things. He's like, oh, well, perhaps we could have done that, or, you know, maybe we could have looked into that a bit more or whatever. And it's like, and, you know, he was like kind of trying to hide behind, well, you know, I've got certain powers as commissioner and I don't have certain powers. And it's like, dude, you run the league. Like, you know, you can tell people get the F out, and you should have, you know, based on what we know now about what Robert Sarver, you know, acted over several, you know, a number of years. Yeah, you know, I think this was like, what, it's been like a decade, right?
If it was David Stern and let's say David Stern came to the same decision. He goes into that press conference. He says, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've decided. And this is what's happening. And he cuts it off. And I think I think he likes being liked. He likes the league being the progressive league. He likes all of that attention. But being the good guy while you're having to represent some really bad guys and you're having to be the shield. The commissioner is kind of the shield for the owners from the media, from the players. And as much as Adam Silver wants to be a good guy, when you have to go up there and defend Robert Sarver, you're not going to get to come off like a good guy. And when you try to come off like a good guy, it just seems so disingenuous. It just paints it in a very poor light. So those two things suck. I think we should just move on from both of them.
let me pose this. So Ime Udoka's out for the season. Let me, you know, bring it back to basketball, bring it back to the Bulls. So is this something where you think, you know, I can't remember the guy's name. He's escaping me off the top of my head now.
Jeff Mazzola, I think.
Jeff Mazzola is taking over, who also, by the way, has a history of domestic abuse, but we'll gloss over that. Anyways, he's going to be taking over as interim head coach. And do you think that this is something that affects the Celtics in a negative way to the way, like, do you think that they're no longer favorites to come out of the East?
I don't, only because they made the finals last year. I think they learned how to win in the NBA. I think they saw what it takes to get to that level. And as much as Udoka being around would help that, I don't think he's as vital as he was last year. I think he's already changed that culture, and I think the culture will stick. And maybe it won't, but I think we'll know in the regular season fairly early on in the regular season, whether or not the Celtics team is going to be able to continue to play with that sort of fire, which, I mean, I guess we actually won't, because it looks like Robert Williams might also miss some time at the beginning of the year. So we might have to wait again until the second half of the season to see what the Celtics really look like.
Yeah. A bit of a trick question there, because we also had that Robert Williams injury news drop, unfortunately, and that's really unfortunate for them. I agree, because that is a really key piece for them, especially on the defensive end. We've talked many times about that. I agree with you, Trey. I don't think, you know, when you talk about an organization or a winning culture, it's never built with one man, right? And even though Ime Udoka is not going to be there, made some mistakes, probably going to pay for those and hopefully, you know, gets his stuff right and learns how to act a little bit better. Even if he's not there for the full year, all those, you know, things are in place and, the structure is still there. The organization is still there. People still know what happened in practices, what the game plans were. So none of that's going to change just because there's a different head coach for a year. So I agree with you. Do you have something to add to that?
Oh, I was waiting on you to use winning culture as the transition into our next topic.
Winning culture, yeah.
Because that's what happened when the Bulls traded for Vooch. To me, that's what the big change was. And earlier today on Twitter, I got into it with Keith and a friend of the podcast, Buzz. I don't remember what his Twitter handle is, but we were discussing the Magic trade, and I backed myself into a corner somehow. But Do you remember? I don't even remember how it said that, but
I was trying to look up the original quote that Buzz. It's at Buzz on Tap, by the way, is the Twitter handle for our friend Buzz over there. But
and the argument was, you guys don't think that the Magic, it was a steal, it was a heist. And,
it was a heist. I was trying to see who had said that. Someone in The Athletic, I believe.
That's Jack Lowe from ESPN.
Jack Lowe. There you go.
And I have to agree with him. I think the Magic were able to get a steal of a deal for Vucevic when you look back at what they were able to get. At the time of the trade, I wouldn't have agreed with you. I thought the Bulls won the trade 100%. I've switched sides. I think the Magic won the trade. However, because of the culture change, I think it helped start. Because of what it meant for the franchise as a whole, I still would do it as a Bulls fan. But I do think the Magic won the trade, and I think they were able to get – some steals out of it. So that's why I call it a heist. I think they were able to steal the win in that trade and steal big.
But I think the problem or the issue here is when you hear that it's a heist, it's like, you know, the Bulls, to me, that says the Bulls got nothing in return. And just like what you're saying, Trey, I think the Bulls got plenty. I mean, it's possible, guys and girls out there, it is possible for both teams to win a trade. Ideally, in a perfect world, that's what will happen in every single trade, is that both teams get something they want. That's why they discuss it at first, and they say, hey, you know, I want this guy, I want that guy, I don't want this guy, I don't want this money on my books, I want this draft pick, you know, whatever it is. There's lots of different moving pieces when it comes to these trades, especially when they span several years. And ideally, you know, both sides are going to win when they come to an agreement there, or at least get what they want. And I feel like that's what happened here. The Bulls got what they want, like you said, Trey. You know, they basically pulled off this move. It kind of shocked the league. I feel like nobody in the league had even heard that the Bulls were attached to Vooch until it happened. I know as a Bulls fan, I wasn't. And all of a sudden this happened, and it was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Like, that seemed like an insane hit for the Bulls, because this guy was, you know, all-star level, still plays near that level now. And, you know, like you said, it creates, you know, winning culture. It creates a culture, I don't necessarily think I would call it winning culture. It just creates a culture where the league knows that the Bulls want to win. The Bulls are willing to go and make that move to make it to have a winning team. And so now you've got Lonzo Ball signing with the Bulls within seconds of free agency opening. You've got DeMar DeRozan signing with the Bulls. Trey, we've had many seasons in the last 15, 20 years where we went to the offseason saying, oh, these are our top free agent targets. And tell me, how many times has that panned out for the Bulls that they've gotten their top guy in free agency?
I'm not very often. I wonder. I know I'm 99% sure DeMar was coming either way. I think Lonzo probably is coming also. But I think what it signaled just to the rest, like you said, it signaled to everyone that the Bulls were back and they were serious about contending. And for the Magic, you know, it was time to reset finally. It was like the hard reset. When the Bulls traded for Vooch, they were getting ready to push for a playoff berth. I don't remember who got hurt and who got COVID, but Vooch and Zach both ended up missing time. They barely played together. And the Bulls ended up missing the playoffs. And that first round pick they traded, thinking it was, you know, going to be 16, 17, 18, it ended up being, was it seven?
Yeah, I think it was
six
seven.
Or seven,
yeah,
and they, which got is crazy. Franz, right, they got Franz, who looks like he's probably he could be a star, not a superstar, right, but he looks like he could be a star. In
yes,
the
very good player.
That is a steal. Wendell Carter Jr. I think a lot of Bulls fans thought with a change of scenery, he could do well. We wanted to see him succeed, and he has succeeded. He's exceeded everyone's expectations. He's thriving in Orlando, and while that's what we wanted to see, like on 2K, who's rated higher, Vooch or Wendell Carter Jr.?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, look, Wendell Carter Jr. is a good player. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a good player. I liked him when he came here. I still liked him, like you said, when we traded him. I wasn't necessarily happy to see him go, but I did have that thought. I thought, you know, hey, this guy needs to change his scenery. He might be good somewhere else. he's a good player, but like, I mean, is he significantly above the average player? I don't think so. He's not going to be a star in the league. He's probably not going to win a defensive player of the league. It's not like, you know, and when you look at Vooch, this is a perennial all-star until he came to the Bulls. You know, he's a perennial all-star, and he still has that.
But you also have to, like, look at their ages. Like,
yeah.
Would you trade Vooch for Wendell Carter Jr. straight up?
Like, I would. Right now.
I would gladly have Wendell Carter Jr. back right now, especially on that contract.
I don't know. I don't think I would, honestly. I don't think I would. I'm not – I think Wendell's a good player. I do. I just don't think he brings – the same dimensions at all that Vooch does. I don't think he does.
I think I would bring him in because of the age more than anything.
He does. Good.
Right. I was going to say, and the defensive side of things. I think his ability on the defensive end is just something that would really be helpful right now.
Sure. And I don't think it'd be a terrible trade if that were to happen. I just feel like,
that's more me trying to emphasize how far Vooch's value has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Bulls were to look to move him, and I've been the biggest Vooch supporter on this pod, but yeah. If the Bulls were to look to move Vooch, you're not getting positive value for him, except for the fact that he's an expiring contract. He's expiring, so that's where his value is. But the league doesn't value Vooch right now. Mm-hmm. What you could get for Franz, which you could get for – that's an insane thing to think about right now. Like Wendell Carter Jr., even the Bulls pick, I think it's this year, the one coming up. East is pretty loaded this year. Could the Bulls fall back into, like, the lottery even?
Yeah.
If they have another season from hell and half the team misses half the season, they could very well fall into that 10-11 spot, 12 spot even. I hate to say it, but worst-case scenario – I think the Magic ended up stealing this. The reason I call it a heist is because I think in the beginning, when you looked at it, the Bulls looked to be the winners. And when you just look at the value of the assets, just what, a year and a half later, it's clearly swung so far the other way. That's why I call it a heist.
Yeah, I think the issue is, like you said, Trey, you know, the Bulls ended up being worse than they wanted to be after they traded for Vooch. They were hoping to make the playoffs that year. That was Zach LaVine that got COVID. I think it was the last maybe 10 games of the season or something like that, 8, 9, 10 games of the season. He just wasn't able to play, and the Bulls just missed being a playoff team, basically, or just being the play-in, I guess, in that season. And yeah, that ended up, you know, making our pick a lot more valuable than it otherwise would have been.
Right. So let's say they made the playoffs and they were picking 16th and they got Alperen Şengün, who went 16th that round.
Right.
If they have Şengün instead of Franz, are we having, like, is it still considered a heist? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's purely because of that bad luck the Bulls had with COVID. And not being able to maximize Vooch and Zach before Lonzo and DeMar came over.
And I'm not going to compare, Vooch to Gobert, but I did mention this on Twitter, so I'll bring it up again so we can talk about it. But you see what Gobert went for? He went for, I believe it was 5 first round picks and 3 pick swaps. I believe that was the haul, as well as like a bevy of young talent. And, you know, Gobert, I mean, Vooch isn't Gobert. Like, don't get it mixed up, don't get it twisted. But there's not, when you look at when Vooch was traded, when he was an all-star in Orlando, and compared to, you know, when Gobert was traded, all-star guy, defensive player of the year, there's not that big of a gap between the guys. And we didn't give up that much, Trey. I feel like it was a...
Oh, I would say there is a huge gap between what Vooch was and what Rudy is.
Huge. I don't know. I guess that's interesting.
Vooch was leading a team to 10th in the East. Rudy was leading a team to first in the West.
That's a good point. It's a fair point. Fair point. Okay. Point taken. So I guess there's a gap there. But still, it's a huge package that they have for Gobert. I don't think the Bulls mortgage their future in that way. I don't think it was like a terrible, awful trade. So the word heist, I think, is just doing a little bit too much heavy lifting in that scenario for me personally. But if you want to call it a heist, I guess you can call it eyes. You've convinced me, Trey. So there you go. Good job.
Thank you.
You did your job there. But I think that's
gonna... And for the record, I would do it again 100 times out of 100. I think it sent a real statement around the league that the Bulls were back to being a big boy franchise, big market franchise that was going to matter. And I also believe that Zach is a number one caliber player on a title contending team at his peak. If he reaches his peak, I think that he's that level of player. And you have to invest and bring winners around guys like that. And I think the Bulls were trying to do that, and I would do it again.
So, go back and listen to any of the first shows that we recorded, Trey. And I think, I've said from the beginning that the Bulls' biggest goal here wasn't even necessarily to make the playoffs. It wasn't necessarily to build a championship contender. It was to re-sign Zach LaVine. And mission accomplished. They did that. Now we can go, Vooch is on an expiring contract here. Like you said, there's not very much value for Vooch around the league. So I don't think he's getting traded. He's probably going to play out his contract here. And then maybe this offseason we do like a sign and trade, or we sign him to significantly less than what he's making right now. I think one of those two things is a possibility, and that'd be a win.
Is there a Miles Turner deal out there to be made?
I wish. I would love to have that trade. I think Miles Turner is super underrated and a great defensive anchor, obviously. So I would love that. But I think, the goal there with bringing Vooch over, with bringing DeMar, with bringing Lonzo, was to get Zach LaVine to sign that dotted line. He did that. Now let's go out there and really build that true contender here in the next, 1-2 years. I think this Lonzo thing is going to be a real bummer for the Bulls, and it's going to really, be something that's puts a wrench in the plans. But I still think that the Bulls can build something special around Zach LaVine.
Have we talked about my Gordon Hayward theory yet on here?
No. What's your Gordon Hayward theory?
So LaMelo's unhappy in Charlotte, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's not looking like Charlotte's going to be sniffing the play-in this year, given the lack of talent they have around LaMelo. Yeah. So what happens if the Bulls start off strong? Lonzo's knees got a little bit more of a setback. And Charlotte calls and they're like, hey, what do you think about Gordon Hayward for Lonzo? Maybe Gordon Hayward and a first for Lonzo, Gordon Hayward and Kai Jones or something for Lonzo, because we want to bring Lonzo in and to pair with LaMelo, because we want LaMelo to be here and be happy.
Yeah, make him happy. And,
right, and that Lonzo's still young; they can play together. And Gordon Hayward is on that DeMar Vooch timeline, but he's got 2 years on his contract, and then he expires. And if he's playing, he would be excellent on the Bulls. He can do everything. He's above average at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just smells like a deal I could see AK pulling the trigger on, especially if they have doubts with his knee. I wanted to put it out there because I want the proof. When this happens in the middle of the season, I can go back and be like, look, I told you this was going to happen, and I will not be happy about it, but I can see it happening.
I would not be opposed to that. But the thing is, I'm not opposed to that. And right now, we just claimed earlier in the show that we're between 8 and 9 on our nervousness factor with Lonzo Ball. And I just feel like, playing years of fantasy and 2K and all that, that's like the wrong time when you want to talk about, like, let's trade this guy, right? Because it's like, oh, now we're panicking. We're going to get rid of him for this. But, I don't think that's a bad trade. I think, even if I'm trying to, like, be like,
doesn't it just sound like something that could happen?
Well, yeah, and then like you said, I think what I like best about it is that the timeline matches up with DeMar DeRozan, which is, I think, that's when we're really going to be like that championship contender, is that last year of that DeMar DeRozan deal, because someone's going to want DeMar, and I think we'll be able to move him if we want to, if that right package comes out there for a DeMar and Alonzo or something like that. I just think that there's a lot of, I think that AK has done a great job of putting together a lot of contracts that make a lot of sense. And, the Bulls are never going to be like terrible again in the timeline that Zach LaVine is playing for the Chicago Bulls. So that's what makes
me won't be terrible. Optimistic. And if a free agent, like a big time player, decides they want to come to Chicago, I think the Bulls have set themselves up to find ways to get it done. If, like Bradley Beal, like not that I want Bradley Beal to say I want to come to Chicago, but like if he were to say I want to come to Chicago, the Bulls could find a way to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do we want to have that to happen? I don't know. That's a different conversation. But no, I agree with you, Trey. So, but yeah, that's going to do it for us today, guys. That's really all it is. Hopefully, we'll have some more to cover here. And like, it's the training camp starting really soon here. So we're going to have more news and stuff to talk about here in the coming weeks. It's going to be really exciting, man. But I'm Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at Finally.
And please go follow the show, guys, at EthosBulls, at EthosBulls. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're doing terribly. Tell us we're doing terribly. But just give us 5 stars so more people can listen to us and hear us and tell us we're terrible. It doesn't really matter what they have to say. But we just want people to listen. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for downloading. And go Bulls. Talk to you soon.